Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'll be preaching from the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, my main text, I'm going to read several passages here, several verses here, but my main text is John 14 and verse 6. And the title of the message is One Way of Salvation. One Way of Salvation. Now, one of the most unpopular truths of Christianity, true Christianity, and I know there's a lot of people who deny this today and call themselves Christian, and it's called progressive Christianity. But one of the most unpopular truths that Christ taught, and that's what Christianity is, it's trusting Christ and following His teachings, is this fact that true Christianity is the one and only, the exclusive way to God. It's the one and only exclusive way of salvation. Now, there are several passages of Scripture that we could go to. I don't have time in one message to go to all of these Scriptures, but John 14, 6 certainly states this. This is the Lord speaking to His disciples before He is arrested and goes to the cross. And He's speaking here to all the disciples, but He's answering a question that His disciple named Thomas, you've heard of Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas, that Thomas asked. And let's begin up in verse 1, and then we'll get to verse 6. He says, Christ said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Now, we're going to find, we've already seen in the Bible, and we're going to find as He continues His teaching there, is you cannot, now listen to this, you cannot truly believe in God, the true and living God, and not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe in a God of your imagination, and you may believe a lot of things that are true about the true and living God. For example, there's a lot of people who believe that God is real and that He's the creator of this world. But see, God reveals Himself in His Word for the salvation of His people so that they might have a right relationship with God. So you can believe that God is the creator and not believe in Christ, the one way of salvation, the one way of being accepted with God, the one way of being right with God. You understand what I'm saying? So He connects the two. Christ, Jesus Christ, the God-man, is the full revelation of the Father. So let's read on. Verse 2, He says, In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then verse 3, He says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now this place that He's talking about is not referring to geography. It's referring to a spiritual state and standing before God, which in the Bible is called the kingdom of heaven. You know, people think when they talk about going to heaven, they talk about like going up. You know, when a believer dies, I believe his spirit goes to be with the Lord. But the Bible teaches that true believers in glory, in eternal glory, will inhabit the new earth in a glorified body. But his going to prepare this place has to do with his redemptive work of saving his people from their sins by the sacrifice of himself. That's why he told them, he said, let not your heart be troubled. They were troubled because they knew what was going to happen when he presented himself, or when the soldiers would come to get him and he would be brought up on trial. They knew that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Romans were intent on killing him, killing Jesus of Nazareth, because they looked upon him as the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, looked upon him as being a blasphemer, and the Romans looked upon him as being an insurrectionist, a rebel. So they wanted to kill him, and they ganged up to do so. But what he's telling them here is all of this, it's not the, ultimately, it's not just the evil workings of man, though that is involved, but this is the work of God. What he's going through, what Christ went through in his suffering, in his arrest, in the beatings, in his death, in his burial, his resurrection, this was all ordained of God before the foundation of the world. Why? For the glory of God in the salvation of His chosen people, given to Christ before the foundation of the world. So there's no accidents here. There's no contingency plan here. There's no taking God by surprise. Christ knew full well what was going on here. And He said, I'm going not just to suffer, and not just to be ridiculed, not just to be falsely accused and beaten, and not just to die, even though that was His purpose. But I'm going, in all of that, I'm going to prepare a place for you to save you from your sins. Now, Christ did that as the surety and the substitute of His people. Having their sins, the debt, the sin debt, legally charged to His account, and He did it to prepare that place. How? By establishing righteousness that is imputed to His people, charged over to their account. That's why the Bible says in Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So He says in verse 4 of John 14, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. He told them these things. Well, Thomas, you know, Thomas was a very weak human being, just like me, just like you, all of these. What is a saved person, a true disciple of Christ? We're sinners saved by grace. And Thomas, in his human weakness and sinfulness, he said unto him, verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, verse 6 there's the text now. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. That's it. Nobody's going to the Father except through Jesus Christ, based on the merits of His blood, His death, which is His righteousness imputed to His people. If you come to God based on any other ground but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you will be rejected. That has been set down in the Scripture from the very beginning. Look at the story of Cain and Abel. Cain came based on his works. Abel came through the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb that Abel sacrificed and brought the blood was a picture, a type, and even a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one way of salvation, the one way to God. No other way. No other way. Now, that's offensive to so many people today, even so many who call themselves Christian. There is a progressive form of Christianity, and it is false Christianity. Now, you understand this. If we go by the Bible, those who call themselves Christian but claim there are many ways to God. You go your way, I go mine. My friend, they are not Christian. They just call themselves Christian. Jesus Christ did not teach many ways to God. He didn't teach the Buddhist way, the Muslim way, or the Hindu way, then the Christian way, or the Jewish way. He didn't teach the Baptist way, the Methodist way, the Pentecostal way. No, sir. There's one way to God, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. And others, and remember now, His blood equals His righteousness. His blood is satisfaction to the justice of God. In other words, He, in dying on the cross for His sheep, He drank damnation dry for them. The wrath of God was poured out upon Him based on their sins charged to Him, and He finished it. He fulfilled all righteousness, and that's how we stand before God if we're truly Christian. Not in our own righteousness, not in our own works, but in Him whom to know is life eternal. He is the way, and the way is the way of the cross. The way is the way of righteousness. The way is the way of grace. He is the truth. There's only one truth revealed by God as to how sinners can be made right with Him, saved from their sin, justified before Him. And that's through Christ. And He is the life. Eternal life is only in Christ. You see, not in anybody else. The other ways are ways of death. There's only one way to God. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, again, why is that so unpopular? Well, men by nature just want to believe that there's many ways to God. And that comes out of ignorance. It comes out of unbelief. It comes out of pride. That's called pluralism. You may, I don't know if you've heard that term or not. Pluralism. Many ways to God. There's three basic philosophies that prevail today, even among, and it's in false Christianity too, and in some form or to some degree, these three philosophies. There's humanism. Now, humanism teaches that the world basically revolves around man, and that it's all about us, and that there's some spark of goodness within us, and in order to get people saved, as they claim, all you have to do is find an eloquent preacher who can tug at your heartstrings and fan that flame, that spark, and turn it into a flame. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Humanism has to do with those who worship a God that is like unto themselves, and they reason from the ground up. In other words, whatever my thoughts about God, it starts with me, not with Him. And you see, that's why God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts," in Isaiah 55. "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are high above you. My ways are high above you." You see, salvation is not reasoning from the ground up, beginning with me and ending up with a God who's like me. Salvation is a revelation from God down. Righteousness comes from heaven down, not from here, from the earth up. You see, it's not by the works of man. Christ is the righteousness of God. So humanism is a false belief. And it's pervaded even modern day Christianity. Salvation conditioned on you, not on Christ. You see, the gospel says salvation is conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled all those conditions. The second philosophy that pervades is relativism. And relativism is an autonomous view. In other words, you have your truth, but I have my truth. And what may be truth for you may not be truth for me, and vice versa. That's relativism. In other words, there's no absolute truth. But it's just every man. Well, I'll tell you how the Bible puts it in the book of Judges. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. That's relativism. In other words, it's no absolute standard of truth. But my friend, God is the absolute standard of all truth. And that absolute standard of all truth is revealed for concerning salvation and justification before God, a right relationship with God, is revealed in the person and the finished work of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 17, in verse 31, that God will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He has given assurance unto all men, in that He raised Him from the dead. That's why Christ says here in verse 14 of John, or verse 6 of John 14, I am the way, I am the truth. Christ is the absolute truth. There's no salvation with God but in Christ. There's no righteousness before God but Christ. Do you understand that? So relativism is a false gospel. And then the third philosophy is what I mentioned before, pluralism. There are many ways to God. Well, the Bible says otherwise. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples, led by Peter, they had healed a man. And they had been told by the court, the Jewish court, not to do anything like that. And so they were brought up before the court. And in verse 7, it says, this is Acts chapter 4, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, that is, they put, here's the Jewish court, unbelieving Jews, they arrested Peter and some of the other disciples. And they set them in the midst, and they asked them this question, by what power, this is Acts 4, 7, by what power and by what name have you done this? You healed a man. By what power did you do it? Remember, they accused Christ one time of acting in the power of the devil. He said, they asked him, what power are you, by what name, whose authority have you done this? In verse 8, now listen to Peter's answer in Acts 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught, counted as nothing of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name given among men. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 5, Paul wrote, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You see that? There's no other salvation, no other way, no other truth. Now, this brings up a very valid point that we need to see. Go back to John chapter 14. Now, after Christ had said in John 14, 6, let's read it again. It says, Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, and he was speaking to the rest of the disciples. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now look at verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Well, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That'll be enough. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Now look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. In verse 11, Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, this whole passage is very, very instructive concerning the relationship between the Father and the Son. Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what is he doing? You know, we know the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm sure you've heard of that. There are people who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. That God subsists as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'll be the first to tell you that it's a mind-boggling truth that we can't explain, and we don't even have an illustration. I know preachers try to use illustrations for that, but it's no good. Earthly illustrations cannot really capture the essence of that biblical truth. But when Christ says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, is he claiming that he is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy? No, he's the Son. He's claiming that if you know God as your Father, the only way you can know God as your Father is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, you do not know God as your Father. Apart from Christ, all you know God is as your judge. You understand? And that's why it's so important. That's why the gospel shows how sinners are made right with God by His grace through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said in John 17 and verse 3, He says, This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And then, over in the book of John, chapter 6, and verse 44, listen to this. He says, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard what? The truth, the way of Christ, the gospel, wherein he is revealed as the Lord our righteousness, and hath learned of the Father. Now, to learn of the Father means to learn how God can be a just judge and still be a loving, merciful, gracious Father to save a sinner like me. He said, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. In other words, that is a revelation that comes only through Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. You see, here's the issue. I've said this many times. God is righteous, and we are not. And God, being a righteous God, must punish sin. And the wages of sin is death. God cannot ignore my sins. God cannot look over, pass by my sins at random. God cannot forget my sins and just act as if they never happened. God cannot save me in spite of my sins. God must deal with my sins. And the wages of sin is death, as I said. So the question comes, how can a holy and just and righteous God, who must be just, who must deal in truth, who must punish sin, how can He save a sinner like me and still be righteous and holy? How can he be both just and the justifier? How can he be both a righteous judge and a savior in mercy? There's only one way, the one way of salvation, and that's through the person and work of Jesus Christ as the surety and the substitute of his people, given to him before the foundation of the world by the Father. In other words, the only way that you can approach God confidently, with liberty, as a loving Father, is through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. Buddha won't help you there. Allah, Muhammad, they won't help you. Brahmanatman, the Hindus, they can't help you there. No, sir. And listen to me. The Jews cannot help you there. Judaism cannot do it. Somebody asked me one time, do we worship the same God of the Jews? Well, according to the Bible, an unbelieving Jew. The only way we could say we worship the same God as any Jew is if that Jew is a Christian who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come unto the Father by Him, the one way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You say, well, don't the Jews believe in the God of the Old Testament? Not the true God. Even the Jews back then who didn't believe in Christ as they looked forward to Him as the Messiah, they worshiped another God, a God of their imagination. The prophets, you know, one of the complaints of the prophets is that God made through the prophets is they don't know me. And he said under the new covenant, which is Christianity, he said they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So do we worship the same God as the Jews? No. They worship the God of judgment in their legalism. Now that's not to put them down, that's all of us by nature. But if you come to God through Christ, then you know the Father. One way of salvation. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.